Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
It's always a privilege for me to be a part of our services in this way. I don't always get to do this. Not my major role here at the Heights Fellowship, but Mike's gone this morning, and he and Linnell are on a trip, and we'll be back tomorrow. But so he'll be back in the pulpit. Those of you who are saying, "Where's Mike? I wanted to hear Mike this morning." He'll be back. He'll be back. So don't get up and leave today. I'm sure God has something for you, and that's my prayer that He does. Because I know in prepping for this message, which is part of the series we've been doing, the co-missioned series, I just want to be able to challenge you and encourage you this morning with what God's laid on my heart. And I think we're still working on getting the slides up, so I'm going to keep talking for a little bit. And if not, we will adjust to... See, one thing I do in preparation when I do speak is that I always print off copies of the slides. Just in case this has happened. This has never happened before. So if you see me putting the paper real close or real far away, it's because I'm having a hard time reading the slides. But we're going to do fine if they don't get those up and going. You know, it's only... Oh, look at there. See? Thank you, Lord. You know, that'll just make it simpler for all of us. Oh, there's no clicker. So you guys are going to have to move me? Gotcha. We can do that. Okay, let's move. Today's message I entitled Simple but Complicated. You know, our lives as followers of Jesus, I think, are that way. This morning's message is going to emphasize that, in that God's instruction to us is normally pretty simple. We can read it. It's what it says. Now the complicated part becomes how do we implement that in our lives? How do we make that applicable in our lives as followers of Christ? Go ahead. So we're going to look at the simple first. And go ahead and advance, please. Matthew 22, 35 through 40. If you were here last week, you heard Mike quote this verse as part of his message last week on what makes God smile. And we're going to start with that this morning because I think it's the basis of how we actually end up accomplishing making God smile. And we're going to kind of go into a little more detail today than he did with his message last week. But you saw this mentioned last week in the message. And so we're going to read it right now. It says, "One of them, a lawyer, a Pharisee, asked him a question, testing him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to them, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets.'" Okay, go ahead and advance, y'all. So where does Jesus get this answer? Two places that he gets this answer from Old Testament. One in Deuteronomy 6 and the other one in Leviticus 19. And I want to read the Deuteronomy 6 passage to you so you get an idea where is Jesus coming from. He's talking to a group of people who knew the Old Testament. The guy that asked him knew the law. He knew what it said. And so when he asked, "What's the greatest commandment?" he's referencing this passage in his answer. Deuteronomy 6 says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your day may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, and that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised to you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So, you can see that Jesus' answer is pulled right from that Old Testament passage in Deuteronomy. The Leviticus passage says that you should love your neighbor as yourself, pulled right from the Old Testament passage, the book of Leviticus. So Jesus, for the first time, is combining these two Old Testament passages into these two texts, into these two statements, that he answers this very learned, very smart, very prepared lawyer in asking this question. The lawyer's trying to catch Jesus in something. He's trying to catch him in giving the wrong answer. Jesus simplifies this and gives him these two passages. Now, what you may or may not know is that in Old Testament law, there's 613 commandments that come from what we call the Torah, or the first five books of our Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so Jesus could have picked any of those 613 laws, but he didn't. He picked these two. One that simply put says, love God. The other one simply put says, love people. And so he's combined these, simplified them into 0.003% of the total of the law that was given to the Israelite people, which is 0.3%. So you see Jesus taking it down, saying to this lawyer, you have 613 laws, commands to follow, but I'm going to make it simple for you. Here's the greatest one, and here's the one that follows closely. So simply put, love God, love people. You know, what's interesting is when you begin looking at those two verses from Old Testament law, you look at the 10 original commands that are foundational to Jesus' answer. What we know is the 10 commandments. Love God. What are the first four of the 10 commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All of those have to do with loving God. Each one of them. Foundational. First four. Moses receives them on the mountain, takes them back to the people for them to live by. Love God. And then the next six all speak about loving people. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, wife, servant, animal, or anything of your neighbor's. All of those reflect directly to loving people. And we're commanded to do those. Different categories, as we can read there, they're each uniquely different, but yet they all have to do with how we love people. Now, that's the simple part of what we're going to talk about today. Because I get it. I'm supposed to love God. I'm supposed to love people. The foundation of the 613 laws were all set on those two concepts, 10 Commandments. And in the passage from Matthew that we just read, that last statement says, depend the whole law on the prophets. Okay? He connects the two. Jesus connects the two in that passage from the Old Testament, that everything about all these laws comes back to these two things. That's what all the law depends on: loving God, loving people. Jesus just summarized those. Under our own knowledge, our own understanding, our own strength, we cannot even accomplish the two commandments that Jesus says, the greatest and the one that shortly follows. However, Jesus gives a prescription of how that we can love God and love people. And that's what we're going to do for the majority of the rest of the message this morning, is look at how can we actually accomplish that. And that's where it becomes a little more difficult. That's where it becomes a little more complicated. The question I want you to consider, and you're going to see several of these throughout the message, that we're just going to pause for a second, and I want you to consider these questions. The first one is, how am I currently being obedient to loving God and loving people? As a listener this morning, that's for you to think about, for you to evaluate. How am I loving God? How am I loving people? And as we progress through the scripture this morning, I want you to consider that. How am I doing that? How am I accomplishing that? So here's the complicated. John 15, if you have your Bible or your device where you can access the scripture, you can turn with me or you can just follow on the screen. But John 15, Jesus starts out. Everything in red are the words of Christ. They're Jesus talking. They're Jesus teaching to those who are under the sound of his voice. He says, I am the true vine. That's Jesus. I've got that in parentheses. So whenever you see, moving forward through this passage in John 15, where you see the word vine, that's Jesus. Okay? That's who that's talking about. He's using this illustration of a grapevine, of some kind of vine that produces fruit, to speak of himself. And he goes on to say, my Father is the vine dresser, the one who takes care of the vine. Then verse 2 says, every branch, every time you hear the word branch or see the word branch, that's referencing us as believers. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then in this context, you're a branch. Okay, so every time you see that word, hear that word, that's what it's referencing. So every branch, every believer in me, there's a connection there. There's already a relationship that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Now, I've also gotten the white there, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That's for a purpose. Because if you're familiar with Paul's writings in Galatians, there's 9 things that are listed there that we call fruit of the Spirit, that Paul calls fruit of the Spirit. So we see things that we can understand about when we see that word fruit. In this passage, we can think, okay, what does Jesus mean by that? What is that equal to? Well, we can go to Galatians 5 because Paul talks about what fruit is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Paul goes on to say, against such things, there is no law. Okay? All the law, all 613 of those laws are void when it comes to accomplishing and bearing those fruit. Now, notice some of the other underlined words there in verse 2. There's 3 levels of fruit that Jesus mentions: bearing zero fruit, bearing some fruit, and bearing more fruit. And to get to the more fruit level, what has to happen? The branch has to be pruned, has to be cut back so it can produce more fruit. And if those of you who have trees, who have bushes that produce some kind of fruit, you know that's true. If you just let them overgrow, they quit producing fruit. There's not enough nourishment for those branches to continue to produce fruit. You have to prune them. You have to remove things. So Jesus throws that in there on purpose to let them know that as you advance as a fruit producer, as a follower of Christ, there's things that need to be removed, that need to be cut away, so that you can bear the amount of fruit you're supposed to bear. And he goes on to say, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That's just a statement of connection. I've already told you these things. He's reminding them. You're already mine. He's talking to a group of believers. He's not talking to a group of people that don't know him. He's talking to people who are following him already. There's already relationship there. He's reminding them of this. But then in verse 4, he says a little phrase, a little clause that has, those of you who understand English, this is the subject here is you understood. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. You abide in me. You know, abide is not a word I use often. It's just not. It's not in my own conversation. But some of the synonyms to that word abide are words I use all the time. Continue. Dwell. Endure. Remain. That word abide in the original language that Jesus would have said this in has all those possible meanings. So when you read abide, or when you hear me say abide moving forward, think about those things. Think about those words that you use. What does that mean to you to continue in something, to dwell in something, to endure something, or to remain in something? Because that's what he's saying. He's encompassing all of those contexts of that word abide. But he says, abide in me and I in you. Again, picture of relationship. There's already connection. The branch and the vine are already connected. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. So imagine your bush or your tree at your house that's producing some kind of fruit. There's probably little twigs, little branches laying over here on the ground. Are they producing fruit? No, they're not. But the ones connected to the trunk or the vine, they're continuing to produce fruit. That's his picture here. You can't separate yourself from Christ and still be able to accomplish producing fruit. He goes on to say in 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Has he said that already? Yes. He's emphasizing that to us, to those listening to him. I'm the vine. I'm the source of what you need. He who abides in me and I in him, what does it say? He bears much fruit. Fourth level. You know, the previous verse that we looked at, no fruit, some fruit, more fruit, much fruit. See, as long as we stay in connection with him, as long as we dwell with him, as long as we endure with him, as long as we remain with him, then we can bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He said that twice now, see? Separating ourselves from Christ, we can't produce fruit by ourselves. Only when we're connected to the vine, which is Jesus. Verse 6, he goes on to say, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, here's what I wanted to tell you about that verse. Don't read that verse and think, okay, I was once connected to Jesus and now I'm thrown into the fires of hell. That's not what that verse means. Okay? What it means is when a branch ceases to connect to the vine, it's now worthless. The only thing left to do is to destroy it. Doesn't mean it's not a believer anymore. When you go back with the comparison that he's using here, the illustration, but it just means you've got to stay connected. And as long as there's still life in the branch, I'm not an agronomist. I don't know all the details of this, but I know you can actually take a branch that still has life and graft it back. You can. That can happen. But what Jesus is saying here is that if they've just been thrown away, if they're no longer any good, then they're useless. So again, emphasizing the importance of staying connected to the vine. Question to consider: how am I currently abiding? How am I currently continuing, dwelling, enduring, and remaining in Christ? How are you doing that right now? How are you accomplishing that? Now that you may be understanding for the first time, maybe you already know this, maybe you're already doing it, but how are you actually applying abiding with Christ? But he goes on to say, he gets even more specific in verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Okay, so we see that level, that fourth level, the maximum level of bearing much fruit, Jesus mentions again. But now he says, my Father is glorified by this. What did we hear Mike talk about 2 weeks ago? About how do we glorify God? Jesus is saying it, using the same language right here. And so prove to be my disciples. See, how do we prove that? I can go up and have a conversation with anybody throughout the week and let them know I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. In some form or fashion, I can say that. Well, prove that. I don't know if you are or not. Those may just be words. How do I prove that? I prove that I'm a follower of Christ when I respond to people the way Christ would. I'm bearing much fruit. I'm patient with them. I'm kind to them. I'm good to them. I have self-control with them. All those fruit is how we prove that we're actually disciples of Christ. So you see the levels, the no fruit, the fruit, more fruit, to much fruit. There's a progression, okay? There's a progression of that. And we see that God is glorified, not fried. There's nothing, we don't want anybody fried. God is glorified and fruit bearing makes God smile. Okay, Mike talked about that last week. He goes on to verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Remain in my love. You see a progression there. God the Father loves Jesus. Jesus loves me. I'm to abide in his love. I'm to remain in his love, to dwell in his love. Why? So I can bear much fruit. See? Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, which is obedience, to do what? Love God, love people. We're going to keep it simple. Not to do those other 611 things, but let's love God and love people. But keep my commandments. You will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So again, you see the relationship. This is God and Jesus' relationship. This is my relationship with you as a follower of Christ. And now you abide in that and you can love people in the same way. See, it's a continuation. It's a conduit from God through Jesus to us. Verse 11. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Joy is the product of abiding with God in his love and can only be achieved through obediently bearing fruit. See the connection there? We get to experience the joy of Christ when we bear much fruit. It's passed down. What was the second fruit of the Spirit that Paul listed in Galatians 5? Joy. What was the first one? Love. We've hit both of them, haven't we? It's important that we abide in Jesus' love so we can express love to those people that we come in contact with, that we're in relationship to. And through that, we get to experience the joy of Christ, and it can be made full because it's the joy of Christ. There is no greater joy unless it's joy or love, you know. It's an inside joke. Questions to consider. Where are you currently in your fruit production? Consider that. Where are you right now as a follower of Christ? Are you no fruit? Some fruit? More fruit? Or perhaps much fruit? Consider that. And how does bearing fruit allow you to experience joy with Christ and with other people? How does that actually happen? How will you know it when you're actually experiencing joy from bearing much fruit? And he goes on to say, he gets even more specific here, and he actually jumps back to something he's already told them. Verse 12, he says, "This is my commandment." Well, if you look back two chapters in John, in chapter 13, verse 34, he says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Okay? So Jesus takes the two, love God, love people. He says, "I'm going to give you a new command, that you love one another." Now, does that fall under the love people category? Sure does. But see, he even brings it down to us as believers. Love one another. Love one another. That's the single commandment. It's my commandment. You know, and I told the first service, I said, if you want to add that to the Ten Commandments and make that commandment 11, I think that's very appropriate. Because Jesus makes this very clear to us. I'm going to give you a new commandment. Okay? Don't forget the old ones, but I'm going to give you one that wasn't listed that's equally as important for you being a disciple of mine. Love one another. And I have there in white just a question to consider. Is this a third command to add to them, or is it a combination of the two? I think it's yes. It's a new one. He said so. But he's also combining it, again, simplifying how we respond to people. And, you know, I had somebody between services say, you know, that, Randy, that's the hardest thing. You know, loving God is easy, simple. Love God. Loving people's complicated, because we as people are complicated. We're hard to love sometimes. But Jesus thought it was so important that it starts with how we love each other in the church as believers, that he says, "I'm going to give you a new commandment to focus on, to emphasize." And then he says in verse 13, "A greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Now we know the extent. When Jesus says that, he gave the ultimate sacrifice. He died for us. We know that. But I think when Jesus is saying that to us, he's not asking us, well, you can't ultimately love one another unless you die for your fellow friend or your believing friend. I don't think that's what he's saying. But I think he is saying that's the extreme picture of that. But there's also a lot of other things we can do that we can love people well. When I'm patient with someone that pushes my patience, I'm loving them. When I'm kind to someone that's maybe not kind to me, then I'm loving them well. When I'm gentle with someone who's maybe aggressive with me, then I'm loving them like Jesus loved me. And I didn't have to physically die for that to happen, but I had to sacrifice my own thoughts. I had to sacrifice perhaps my own emotion with them to love them well. So the highest expression of love is a self-sacrifice that spares not life itself. That's the greatest. It could be anything less than that. John wrote later in his first epistle, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren," for each other. And again, that can be manifested, that can be made real in a lot of different circumstances. But I think we have to be sensitive to that. How am I going to love this person well? This person I'm in conversation with, this person that lives next door to me, this person that I work with. If you're sensitive to that, you're abiding with Christ, you're following His commands, and you're consciously thinking about loving God and loving people, then the Holy Spirit's going to provide a way for you to love them well. So you have to be prepared. You have to be sensitive to the guiding in that moment. He goes on to say in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Okay, back to that command, the obedience idea. Number 15, verse 15, "No longer do I call you slaves." That was once their relationship to Him. They were slaves. "For the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends for all things that I have heard from my Father and I have made known to you." Jesus is passing down to those believers when He wrote this, when He said this, to what it looks like to love others well. "I'm making it known to you." Why? So you can love others well. Verse 16, we're almost finished with this passage. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain." That word "remain," most of your modern translations say "remain" there, but it's the exact same Greek word that Jesus used for abide. Exact same word. And so you see all those contexts of continuing, of dwelling, of enduring, abiding. Because we want our fruit to remain. We don't want it just to be our fruit to be good on Sunday. We want it to remain for Monday and for Tuesday and for Wednesday and for 2023 and for the next decade and however long we have to endure. We endure in producing much fruit. So He goes on to say, "So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give to you." And then He emphasizes in verse 17, "This I command you," singular, "I command you." It's from me, it's from Jesus, one command. You love one another. So in your Bible, it doesn't probably have an exclamation point there. When I read that with an exclamation point. So, love one another. Question to consider: what's the significance or impact of each of us accomplishing the obedience to Jesus' new commandment? Think about that. What's your impact? What's the significance of that, of you actually loving each other well and producing much fruit in each other's lives? So what are some takeaways from this message this morning? Number one, abide in me. Very clear. I hope you heard that multiple times. Stay connected to Jesus. If you're not sure how to do that, ask somebody that you know is following Christ well. How do I do that? How do I continue with Him? How do I dwell with Him? Be prunable. I think we all get that. Allow God to remove distractions from our lives. You know, I was thinking as I was preparing for this message, you know, what's a good story, a good illustration? What's it look like in our culture to really abide with something? I couldn't think of anything, but then it hit me. Connected to it all the time. I dwell with it. I don't get up without it making a noise. This is a picture in our culture of what it looks like to abide. It gives me information. All those things that we need from Jesus, it gives to us. And ultimately, it becomes a distraction to us actually abiding in Christ. That's why we need to be prunable. We need things removed from our lives so we can abide. Now, none of us are going to leave here today, and I'm not asking you to drop your phones in the trash cans on your way out. But we better consider, is that a distraction that needs to be pruned in our lives. Very clear, Jesus threw that in there. It wasn't an accident. That if we're going to bear much fruit, we have to have things pruned in our life. Number three, advance in fruit bearing. Wherever you find yourself, whatever your answer in your mind, whether you wrote it down or just thought it a while ago, when I said, where are you? No fruit? Little fruit? More fruit? Much fruit? What we should be doing, what I hear Jesus saying in this passage, we should be advancing in our fruit bearing. Wherever we find ourselves, we should be growing in that. There's probably some days we bear much fruit. There's probably other days where, I don't care. I'm not producing any fruit today. But we should be on a path to progressing toward much fruit. Number four, keep the commandments of Jesus. Remain connected to his love. Those two things go together. When we keep his commandments, we keep connected to his love. We abide in his love, and thus we love other people well. Number five, the ultimate exclamation point, love one another. Sacrificial love is the greatest love. Jesus gave that example. God is not glorified or caused to smile by our church attendance, by Bible study participation, by long wordy prayers, by keeping moral laws alone, our singing or demonstrative expression during music. It's not what his word just said. His word says he's glorified when we bear much fruit because we're connected to him, because we're obeying him. That's what makes God happy and honors him. He delights in our remaining connected to him, loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. He delights in our bearing fruit that glorifies him. From our connection to him, we express love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control towards people. And ultimately, as he said, he delights in seeing us love one another. We most prove our discipleship by loving others the way Jesus loved us. We've been putting this QR code on the screen during this whole series, and this is the way you can respond back to us and just let us know that you're thinking through the processes of a message, and we get those back in the office when you respond to this, but you can shoot it with your phone, and you'll have the opportunity to answer those questions there. And if that prompts any more questions, then, you know, we can help answer those as well when you do that. How can I more completely love God this week? Think about that. Number two, how can I more specifically love people this week? Both of those things. And when we do that, we accomplish what Jesus said the greatest commandment was, and the one like it, is that we love God and love people. Let's pray, and we'll be done. Dear God, I thank you again for the opportunity to be here to speak your word this morning as we continue looking what it looks like to be co-missioned with you in this world that you've put us in for this time, and what it looks like to share in our relationship with you. And as we're going to look at next week when Mike's back, he's going to talk about what we're shaped to do in accomplishing ministry, and then ultimately to be sent to go do that. And each one of us, as we leave here this morning, we're being sent into our homes, into our workplaces, into our communities to love people well, to love one another, as Jesus told us in today's word. Lord, I just pray that you've, number one, encouraged us today through your word that we can accomplish this, that there is a prescription to doing this well and much. But God, I also pray that you've challenged us to be progressing in this so that we do bear much fruit. God, I thank you for each person here. I just pray for each of them that they have opportunities this week to love others well. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org. And we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.